We will have no other king but King Jesus. You can say amen to that.
Amen.
That is, if you believe it. Now, this weekend, of course, some people say we're celebrating the 4th of July. I am not celebrating the 4th of July. The 4th of July is just a day. But I'll tell you what I am celebrating: the 243rd anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of American Independence. And I want to point out to you a few things as we're looking at the feather quill, the turkey feather, that this document declaring independence from Great Britain is not a document declaring independence from Almighty God. And that's why I start off everywhere. A couple of weeks ago at Bunker Hill, a great opportunity, myself being a third generation American Legion member, with the commander of the American Legion, national commander, declaring from Bunker Hill, "We'll have no other king but King Jesus." There, the national park ranger in charge, representative from Great Britain, from France, the fourth generation commander, naval commander of the USS Constitution. What a great joy it was for me, as it is today, to stand before you dressed like this as a reminder of what this country is all about. And I think I'm old enough to say it. Not just because I'm a student of history. And by the way, the songs we sing, the things that we do here, and the praises we give, I would do that even if I wasn't a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as a follower of Christ. I want you to know that. Now, a few little points about the Declaration and this coming weekend, the American Independence Festival in Exeter, New Hampshire, where one of the copies of the Declaration of American Independence will be delivered on site in Exeter by the State Police of New Hampshire. It's a great event. If you're available, you should come there. I will be there, and Kathy, my wife, will be there as well. It'll probably be a hot day, and yes, people will say, "Aren't you sweating in that hot clothes?" And I'll say, "Yes, I am." But in sweating on a hot day, wearing these clothes reminds me of the blood, sweat, and tears of our forefathers, what they did. Now, the Declaration of American Independence is 1,337 words with signatures. It's 1,458. Now, it's 243 years since independence from Great Britain. And I want you, if you have not read the Declaration of American Independence, you can do it pretty much in less than 15 minutes. Now, if I were in a position to order it, I would order you to do that. I'd order every American to do it. And I might say, "Hey, I'm big enough to do it, I'm old enough to do it, I'm telling you to do it." But of course, we're here today, I'm just suggesting to you that you do that. Read it with your children. It's an amazing document. Samuel Adams, who was considered the father of the American Revolution, said this: "I reply and I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins. The name of the Lord, says Scripture, is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe." Proverbs 18:10. "Let us secure his favor, and he will lead us through the journey of this life, and at length receive us to a better." He who is void of virtuous attachments in private life is, or very soon will be, void of all regard for his country. There is seldom an instance of a man guilty of betraying his country who had not before lost the feeling of moral obligations in his private connections. Neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. Religion and good morals are the only solid foundation of public liberty and happiness. On August 1st, 1776, after the Declaration of Independence was signed, Samuel Adams said in a speech at the State House in Philadelphia, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and with a propitious eye beholds his subject assuming that freedom of thought and dignity of self-direction which he bestowed on them, from the rising to the setting sun, may his kingdom come." This is what our founding fathers were saying. And I'm saying it today, representing them here. Years ago, when I was in Faneuil Hall in Boston, preaching there, I stood right on that platform, just like this, with a huge wooden podium. And I hadn't really noticed until I stepped back and I looked down on the floor, and it was wood flooring, and there were actual footmarks worn into the wood. And I had an epiphany, to use Christianese language. And I thought about who stood on that very spot. Samuel Adams, John Adams, John Hancock, Paul Revere, the Otis brothers, all kind of people stood on the very same spot. But it also overtook me of saying, they're not here now. I am. I'll take over from them. I'll carry on their legacy. The same as we Christians today are carrying on the legacy given to us, if you will, by Jesus Christ in his resurrection, his death and resurrection, and of course, his return is imminent. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued, but when they lose their virtue, then will they be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. The Declaration of Independence is the declaratory charter of our rights and the rights of man. Thomas Jefferson said that. But what do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The Revolution was effected before the war commenced. The Revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments and their duties and their obligations. This radical change in the principles, opinions, and sentiments and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. John Adams said that. And so, when we look at our Declaration, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, they're all known as the Charters of Freedom. Each of these documents played a crucial role in the birth and development of our country. Each of these documents helped to create and define the rights and principles of the American people. And each of these documents continues to provide a framework, a guiding light for our way of life. In 1776, 56 men representing 3 million people voted to adopt one of the most revolutionary documents in the history, the Declaration of Independence. The fledgling colonies succeeded in defending themselves from the most powerful nation on earth. It was worth the risk. If they failed, these 56 men were signing their death warrants We often forget that. They're famous signatures now. They signed their own death warrants when they signed that declaration. The level of the signer's commitment and their willingness to sacrifice in order to secure liberty under God, law, is evident in the final words of the declaration. And for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And by God's strength, we can pledge to Him our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, even today. I want you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. The title of this message is "So That's Why It's Happening." So that's why it's happening. Invariably, you go around the country, as I do, and I go physically, but I also go in the sense by telephone, by Facebook, by social media, and all these different things. I have conversations in one day with people from all over the country. And people ask the question, what is going on in this country? What's wrong with this country? Well, if I said no more to you this morning than this, what's wrong with this country? This country has forgotten who started this country and for what reason this country was started. Do we have too much Jesus out there, as some people will tell you? You hear atheists, agnostics, other religionists, no religion at all, say, we get too much Jesus. You Jesus people, there's too much of you. Too many Jesus people. Too many churches. That is a lie from hell. I want you to think, and I had a conversation with a very prominent pastor the other day. I said, you think about this. He was thanking me for all the years of ministry that I've done. I've held the line on these different things, and it's not been easy. I've had many death threats and people wanting to get rid of me. I said to him, just think about this. What would the world be like if Jesus was never born? What would the world be like if there was never Christianity? True biblical Christianity. What would the world be like if there was never an America? Think about that, folks. Because I'll tell you what, it sends a chill up my spine to think that there are people in this country and throughout the world that want to do that very thing. Eliminate the churches, eliminate the influence of Christian churches, eliminate Christians, and believe it or not, though the news media won't report it to you and you cannot trust the faux media, too many people spend too much time doing that. And they wonder why they're so upset all the time. I had to tell my uncle the other day. He was so upset. He was just shaking. I said, Unc, you've got to turn that TV set off and get to your Bible and get to prayer and hear the truth. And you'll calm down then. Because you'll realize this world fits right in the palm of his hand. So as we read in the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, and this is the answer, so that's why that's happening. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This camp meeting here came about after a second great awakening. The American War for Independence came about after the first great awakening. So I tell people, we're praying for revival. I'm actually gone beyond praying for revival. I'm praying for spiritual revolution. And when you think about the word revolution, it could be broken down into revolt. Am I revolting against something? Yes, I am. I'm revolting against secularism, humanism, and every other kind of ism that pits itself against the truth of Jesus Christ and His Word. I am revolting against that. And the word revolution also comes with it, the word revolve. And as these scriptures point out, the Lord is asking us to revolve, to turn around, and not be doing things the way of the world. Many people tell me, I don't know what the Lord wants from me. I need direction. I don't have any direction in my life. Okay, so what are you doing about it? If you want direction in your life, it's right here in this book, which is still the most prominent book in the world ever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What that says to me is mediocre doesn't make it. What it says to me is do not lean on your own understanding. I often will say, Lord, I don't get it. I just don't understand. I've lived 71 years. I still don't get it. And the Holy Spirit will say, no, you do get it. And you know where to find out where to get it. You go to God's Word. You go to God's people. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. If we want to see a better America, this is the answer to a better America. America that many people describe, like Alexis Tocqueville, a Frenchman being paid by the French government to come to America to find out, why is America, this young nation, become so great? Do you know we're still the number one economy in the world? The Chinese are second to us. The Japanese are third to us. We're still the most dynamic economy in the world. How does a young nation like America have that happen? Because we have a foundation in Christ. We have a foundation where the Lord has shown us, and just like the offering plate here, and how we're, you know, it was great prayer of dedication, thanking the Lord for what He's provided for us and using it for His work. So the answers are right here. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Turn away from evil. We have people that are not turning away from evil. Many of our Christian brethren spend too much time looking at evil, seeing evil, and then they wonder why they replicate that. Instead of going to the Word of God, and it's wonderful, the Bible studies that you're having here, and being able to come to a revivalist, we'll say revivalist meetings, or revivalist environment and venue, where you can be with other Christians, encourage each other, pray with one another, study Scripture together, and not lean on your own understanding. And in verse 8, where it says, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Somebody said to me the other day, at your age, don't you think you ought to retire? I said, no, I'm not planning on retiring. When the Lord takes me, I'll go. But until then, I'm going to keep doing what He's called me to do. I'm a man on a mission. And the Lord knows that this mission is an important mission, just like you are all called to a mission too, whether you know it or not. Whether you accept it or not, makes a difference. But the promise of Scripture here is, it will be healing to your flesh. I'm sure all of us today, particularly us white hairs and some of us that have no hair at all, would love to have healing. And we'd also have refreshment to our bones. It's interesting how Scripture puts things, isn't it? Refreshment to your bones. Do you know that in your bone marrow, you have red blood cells are formed there, and if you're not forming red blood cells, you've got a problem. So the Lord is saying, in your uttermost part of your body, I will give you refreshment. A couple of weeks ago, I was involved in an important ministry, and the fellow who was preaching was 82 years old. He's just a little bitty guy. But I want to tell you, he was running all over the place. He did a couple of leg lifts that I wouldn't dare to do. I'd probably fall over backwards if I did it. And he said, you know what? And I hadn't really given it a lot of thought, but I want you to think about this today. How old was Moses when he died? 120. Now, that's by today's numbers, 120 years old. But if you read it in Scripture, and it's important, he did not die of old age. At 120, he didn't die of old age. The Lord said to him, Moses, I'm not going to let you cross over into the promised land. Joshua's going to do that. Lay down. I'm going to take you. And I thought, I've struggled with some things over the last couple of years. It looked like I was down for the count. And the Lord brought me back. And I thought, 120 years? The Lord tarry is coming. That would give me quite a few more years to do the things that I believe in. And preach the things I want to preach. And sing the songs I want to sing for Jesus. And make him known everywhere I go. I've had some wonderful opportunities where nobody wanted to talk about Jesus. I will. And it was interesting that starting the conversation gave other people to feel a little courageous. Many years ago, in meeting Billy Graham, who brought me into a convention in 1978, I believe it was. He said, when one man stands up, he stiffens other men's spines. Well, I'll tell you what, if there was ever a time that you're needed in this country, if you really love your country, now is the time to stand up. I know there's a lot of things that you want to do and places you want to go and so forth and so on. But what is more important than the promises that the Lord makes to his people, especially when I can invariably say, without any reservation at all, if the Lord has promised it, it will be so. That's why we pray, and at the end of our prayers, what do we say? Amen. The word amen basically means, O Lord, let it be. Let it be as you have said. We have this in the book of Psalms, where many of the Psalms end by saying, Selah. Which is basically saying, O Lord, let it be. Or as you have said, Lord, let it be. Our founding fathers believed that, and I should mention also our founding mothers, because there were many founding mothers, many women. Abigail Adams was one, Mercy Otis Warren. They suffered a lot for the cause of Christ in America and the founding of this country. I would like to think that one day, when the Lord takes me home to glory, and yes, there is a place called heaven, and yes, there is a place called hell. We discussed that in our service today. We made confessions about that. But in that place called heaven, I hope to meet them, and I would hope they would say to me the same thing that I would hope to hear from the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. And so as we close this message today, I didn't come here to scold you. I didn't come here to scare you. I didn't really come here today to thrill you either. I can't do any of those things. But the Holy Spirit can heal you. Jesus can heal you. The Holy Spirit can thrill you. The Holy Spirit can refresh you. He can refresh you down at the uttermost in your bones. And I certainly am praying that that's the very thing that will happen. And so remember when people ask the question, what's going on in this country? I really have concern for this country. You should have concern for this country. There's no guarantee that this country is going to survive this onslaught that we're going through right now. There's no guarantee of that. Except in the Lord. And God's people will continue to revolt against sin, revolt against evil, revolt against secularism, humanism, and false religions, and continue to revolve away from those things and face towards the Lord full on. And as the children's message was today, and while Mrs. Lear was preparing that yesterday, and she asked me to listen to it, and she went through it, I said, that's a beautiful message, and I'm glad you reminded us of that. Because if we truly do love the Lord with all of our hearts, mind, and strength, there's no room for other stuff to get in there. So, let's pray. Lord, you laid a message on my heart. I came and I delivered it. A man on assignment. And for those that have listened today, and the service is not over, we still have other parts to it, we trust that each person has heard what you want them to hear. And that they won't leave here the same as when they came in. And that they'll look at the back door and realize in the side door and see there's a world out there that needs Jesus desperately. Like a hungry man, like a thirsty person. And only the blood of Christ can save. We know that. In your name, King Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now I guess I come down there.
I really like to see the Lord's Supper done with a full loaf of bread like that. I know we have many different ways that we can often make things go fast and easier, whatever else. But I look at the whole loaf, and each one of you will come up, if I understand it, and you will pluck a piece of bread off of there. Of course, every piece will be uneven. And if you were to take those pieces after you pluck them off, you could put them right back and it becomes a full loaf again. This kind of reminds me of the body of Christ, which is one of the things that Jesus said, you do this in remembrance of me. And I've asked over and over again throughout the many years of serving the Lord, Lord, what am I supposed to remember? You know, like your mother or your father said to you, didn't I tell you this before? Didn't you remember that? So I'm always asking the Lord, what do you want me to remember? And so I would suggest to you today, as you pluck this bread, and dip it in the juice. What you remember is Jesus' body was broken for you. You can say it was broken for everybody, but you can take it very personally. It was broken for you. It was broken for me. And he shed his blood, his innocent blood. One thing I'm absolutely sure of, I'm not an innocent man. But another thing I'm absolutely sure of is Jesus was innocent. Totally innocent. The only one. That's why he had to die. And that's why he's the Savior. He is the Son of God. So if you'll stand and come forward, I don't know what the most expeditious way will be. I guess we'll start in the front. So we're going to sing hymn number 419, verses 1, 3, and 4. And God be the Lord. Judea is the house of God, but you have also said to us that you choose to dwell in us, that we are your greatest creation. And I pronounce blessing on these that have gathered today. There are people probably that could have been here and aren't. But I thank you, even as the song we have just sung is so important. It's you that's drawing us near to you. We didn't find you, you found us. We can't save ourselves, only you can save us. And that's the same message not only for us, but to the world, everywhere, in all places, at all times. And so as we go from here, we recognize we're going out into the mission field. Whether it be in the neighborhoods we live in, or another state, or whatever it is, it's a mission field. And you can lead us and guide us in the way everlasting. In your name we pray. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join us for God Bless America.